What I do is I have the team go listen to the episode, pull out some key points from the episode, and write a topic about these few pieces. And so every podcast episode turns into a blog post just right there in its own.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hey, hey, it's Adam Adams. And generally, as you may have gotten accustomed to, any even numbered episode is supposed to be me alone pouring into you and your business. However, I did so many different interviews with so many really, really good people that on this episode today, even though this would typically just be me pouring into your business, me just sharing something short, like 5, 10, 20 minutes, where I poured into you and your podcast and growing your brand and really getting you in front of everybody, I'm going to do that today with an interview. So let's get right into it. And we're back with another episode of the podcast on podcasting. And I'm your host, Adam A. Adams. Today we have Julian Espinosa. Julian, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Ready to go.
You better be. And for those of you who can't see him, he said that he got a haircut just for us. So he's looking crisp and clean, straight from the barber. And let me jump in. Like, Julian is the founder of Poppy Digital. So he does growth hacking strategies and helps a lot of e-commerce companies to be able to grow and get to the next level. And one of the ways that he helps them to be able to do that is through their podcast. So he helps them launch podcasts, get lots of listeners for the podcast, that kind of stuff. So he's been doing digital marketing for 15 years. It's insane. We'll have to find out more about digital marketing from you. And one, let's see, it says, and is one that thinks differently. What does that mean? What do you mean you think differently? Is it about marketing?
It is. I honestly think about that. It's a more metaphor for my life too. I try to think differently. Everyone, I'll give you a very pointed metaphor that I use. Everyone talks about like breaking through the wall or climbing through the wall. I talk about walking around the wall.
Okay. Going around it. Love it. And so what we're talking about today on this episode, I want to be able to help you. If you're brand new, if you're brand spanking new, like Julian's got some strategies that's going to be able to help you to get to the next level. And of course, because he's got all this experience with digital marketing and growing people's podcasts in the e-commerce space, we'll learn a little bit about what he's doing there as well. So Julian, I want to find out, number one, 15 years in digital marketing. How come you started in digital marketing? Like personally, before you go there, I didn't even think about digital marketing way back in that year. 15 years ago, I didn't know there was any such thing as digital marketing. I didn't know it made that it was important, that people were looking for it. So what kind of got you interested into it, into that part of your path?
Well, I didn't either, Adam. My mom tricked me. I was interested in stocks, finances, and just like money management and those kind of things. And my mom said, oh, there's this company and they're looking to bring on an intern. I was 16 at the time and looking to bring them on and try it out. And I was super pumped because I thought it was about stocks and financing and markets and those kind of things. And come lo and behold, I end up at the office of a digital marketer. And so that's where it started. It wasn't intentional. It wasn't deliberate. It was literally my mom basically lied to me so that I could get a job, right? And so that's how it ended up working out. The cool thing about it was it definitely flexed some interesting brain muscles that I had from a creativity standpoint. And back then, what we were doing in 2006, because back then we didn't really understand Google the way Google works today. And we were doing banner advertisement. If you remember what those were way, way back then. Banner ads. And that's where my career started, in banner advertising and digital marketing.
Banner ads on like Facebook mostly?
Well, Facebook wasn't around back in that time.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So banner ads were big.
Yeah. I remember when Facebook came out. It was like, I resisted it for a year or two, but it was like 2006 or 7 or 8 that I joined. So that's funny. And so you were doing banner ads, not on Facebook, just like on Google.
We were doing them. So banner ads back then were more forums. So you would go and get a banner on a forum that talked about a particular subject matter that your type of clients would be at. So just to keep it simple, let's say you were interested in cars or a specific type of car. You really liked a Honda Civics, just to keep it simple. And so the company that was advertising, maybe it was advertising some sort of exhaust system. So we would create a banner advertisement for the company for the exhaust system, and you put it on this forum at the top of the website.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it would work.
That's cool. For some reason, I think Clubhouse is going to be doing that. Clubhouse is like almost like a virtual forum. And I know that each and every one of the most of the time on Clubhouse, they'll title it something very specific, like how to grow your podcast or whatever it is, how to get into real estate. So I wonder if that's going to end up happening. So you mentioned in the pre-interview, you mentioned that you want to add value to somebody who's brand spanking new. You had some tips and ideas that would be able to help them. So if you're listening and you haven't even launched yet, or you just launched recently, let's hear what Julian has to say. So, and also, Julian, as you share the tips, can you share with us how you learned them? Like if you made a mistake or if somebody you knew made a mistake that we need to avoid as we're learning, I think that'll help us to be able to really internalize it.
Absolutely. So the big thing and what I've learned along the way is not everyone needs a podcast and not everyone should start a podcast. That's the big thing. And questioning the idea if you even should start a podcast is really where you want to explore first. When I started mine, I had my reasons, and still to this day, they hold up really nicely. Podcasting is great for networking, right? I get to meet some really cool people, some people that I normally would not meet. I get to learn new different types of strategies in the marketing world. So networking and knowledge right there, that's a big win for me. The other thing is content. Content's amazing. I have a 30-minute, a 20-minute episode, and I'm able to disseminate that down into content pieces that I publish across all parts of the internet. So from a blog to my website to my social media platforms, my LinkedIn, and all these different places. So right there, without having a single listener to my show, I have some really good value as to why I would be starting a podcast. Then if we could get some listeners and it could eventually turn into some type of clientele, that's good. What I also picked up along the way is when I'm talking to new clients and talking to people who might become a customer of mine, or they're a customer of mine and they don't understand a particular process or something, I can guide them to a podcast episode. I can say, hey, go listen to this and then come back and let's talk. So again, without really having a single listener so far, this podcast has a lot of value for me in the business that I'm in. So you really need to question why are you going to start a show? And so if you're going to start a show because you need to get a lot of listeners and you need to get a lot of listeners to basically be able to justify people to advertise on your podcast, much like a Joe Rogan, right? He's got a lot of listeners and people advertise on his show. There's room for that, but you got to be really unique and you can't just go interview people. So I think the big thing that we're seeing in the podcasting space is everyone's just trying to do the poor man's version of Joe Rogan. Everyone's trying to just do an interview-based podcast with people that they know. So what I first realized very quickly was I was limiting my show to my Rolodex. And that was the first lesson that I learned. Don't limit your show to your Rolodex. Well, so what do I mean? Most of the time, this is how it works. Hey, I start a podcast and I start a show and I'm going to interview some people. So you pop out your phone and you go into it and you go like, okay, hey, do you want to be on my show? And you start, and you're limiting people to your network. And I thought that was very selfish of me, that I was limiting to people that I knew. I was asking people to listen, to dedicate 20 to 30 minutes, maybe even 40 minutes of their time to people that I knew. That didn't seem fair to me. That didn't seem adequate. So what I did was I recorded a full season and I threw it in the trash. I literally took about 12 episodes that I recorded. They were completely edited, ready to be published, and I threw them in the trash because I said I was limiting people to my own show. I'm sorry, to my own network. And that's not appropriate. I didn't think that's fair. I wanted to get people who were the best at what they did to talk about the subject matters. So as an example, one of my favorite guests is AJ Wilcox. AJ Wilcox is by far, at least what the world considers from a perception standpoint, the best LinkedIn media buyer in the whole world. And so I went and I made it my mission to get a hold of AJ Wilcox and get him on my show and so on and so forth. I'm getting people that I don't know personally to appear on my show that are really, truly the best in what they do. So coming back to why you should start a podcast and should you start a podcast, the big thing is, should you be starting a podcast? And you should be questioning yourself. My favorite phrase from someone I interviewed about podcasting to talk about this very subject is John Lee Dumas. And he said, if the question is, should you start a podcast? And the answer is, you should start a podcast if you have the best solution to a real problem, not the 734th solution to a problem, the best solution to a real problem. And so that was really unique. And that's really stuck with me since I interviewed him many, many months ago. And that's really what we're talking about here is your show unique? Is it really addressing something that someone else isn't doing? So I've got a lot to say about this, but I'll cut myself off here. Do you have the best solution to a real problem? And then you can start thinking about, should you personally start this show?
Lots of good stuff already. So I'm looking at the notes that I've been taking. And so why should you start it? You started yours because you knew that even if you didn't even have one single listener, without even a single listener to my show, you said, you would still get value. Like, you'd get value because you're growing your network. You're making connections with the people that are on your show. You also talked about that you're personally learning, you're growing. And additionally, you mentioned that the content that you were getting from the show, you were able to spread it out into other places. For example, I think you mentioned you put some of that content in your blog, some of that on a website, as well as like different social media. You can take excerpts out and put them in all sorts of forms and fashions, which is kind of cool because I actually 100% agree that there's a lot of people that they only think about the value that they would get if they have listeners. But it's interesting that there's a lot of value that you get even without listeners. And back in a time where I had like 20 listeners, well, I don't know if they were all listeners or maybe they were robots. I don't know what it was, but I was getting 20 downloads per episode. And I was talking to somebody at a conference and I just mentioned to him that I had a podcast. And he was like, oh, you have a podcast. And so I subscribed to the show on his phone. And the cool thing is, you mentioned this too, you talk to people, go listen to this, and then let's talk. Like, go and check out this episode, go and check out this series on my podcast. This will help you get to the next level, and then we can chat. And for this guy, I just gave him my podcast link, and that was it. I didn't hardly have any other listeners besides him. Maybe he was all 20 of my downloads. Anyway, the point is, he called me about a month or two later, and he said, Adam, I've listened to 60 episodes. I want to do business with you. And he's lent a lot of money to our company. We buy real estate. And like, it only came because he and I had a conversation and I told him to check out the podcast. And you're mentioning that, yeah, you can learn and grow and network with some people. Like, now you're friends with John Lee Dumas and you can call him, you can text him, you can email him. He knows who you are. He's been on your show. I even think that I've seen you on Clubhouse with him as well. But it grew your network. Let's just pretend, and I know you don't have no listeners, but let's pretend you didn't have any. Right. You would still get that value connecting with John, JLD. You're also learning and growing. I'd love to get a couple of examples of that. And you're able to put out that content. And I'd love to hear like what repurposing all of that content is doing for your business before we kind of go on. So let's talk about knowledge and then content and one example of the go listen to this and then let's talk. So start with the knowledge if you can.
Point me to a better question. Sorry.
Absolutely. I can do that. So in your experience, you've said that the knowledge that you gain because you have a podcast is good enough, even if you didn't have any listeners. So can you give us one example of some knowledge that you gained through your podcast that got you to the next level that was valuable enough?
Yeah, I got one right off the bat. So we'll keep using the example of AJ Wilcox, the world's leading LinkedIn media buyer out there. AJ and I were chatting, and the conversation I always have with clients is LinkedIn media buying right for you? Like, is this a good medium for customers? And AJ draws the line really down the middle and goes, here's where the boundary is. If your LTV, your lifetime value of your customer, is not more than $15,000, LinkedIn media buying is not for you. And I didn't know that. Had no idea. I didn't know that that was. But because he's been doing this for so long, he knows how the costs involved, how that translates into a lead, how long that translates into a potential sale. He knows what that takes in that universe. He understands, and he's put together his own equation. This isn't something LinkedIn says. This isn't something anyone really says. This is by his experience. He has done this for so long that if you don't have a lifetime value of $15,000 or more, it's hard to justify what you would be spending on LinkedIn to get a customer.
I love that. That's really good. And how about the content, how you've repurposed and used that on blogs and websites and social media? So let's say and pretend like you have no listeners. Let's just say Julian has no listeners, even though it's not true. What value have you gotten by repurposing content?
Absolutely. The value is insane, right? So there's just so many, there's so many ways that you can look at this. So for those of you that haven't heard of this, SEO, search engine optimization, it's the idea of ranking a website higher on a Google search for a particular phrase or search phrases that you might type in. So what Google really likes is content. Google likes to see that you are an industry expert on the subject matter that you're talking about. So what that requires is the written word. It requires 800 to 1,000 long blog entries. And so what I do is I have the team go listen to the episode, pull out some key points from the episode, and write a topic about these few pieces. And so every podcast episode turns into a blog post just right there in its own. The next is we then take those bits, right? Those pieces that we've extracted, and we create social media content around it. Okay. So what does that look like? Well, we can take a podcast clip, maybe a 15, 20, 30 second clip from a particular thing that I said. Boom. There's another 5 or 6 pieces of content. Great. What's next? What's next is taking a concept that I talked about and illustrating it. I'll give you an example. In one of my episodes, I think it's episode 1, about why digital marketing typically fails, we talk about the big tech giants, big social media giants like Facebook and Twitter and Google, how they bought all the social media companies. So Google bought YouTube, Facebook bought Instagram, Twitter bought Vine. And so I talk about that. So what I did, and it's a really interesting bite of content. So what I did is my team listened to that, found that bit where the big social media giants are buying the smaller ones. And then she created a graphic around creating these big monsters eating the little guys, really. And then now that's a graphic piece of content that I can put a post on LinkedIn about. It's visually eye-catching. And then I write a little segment about it. That's another type of content. And then the last is I can even create GIFs or memes around some of that content. And yeah, so when you have one episode, that can really turn into anywhere from 5 to 10 different pieces of content across all types of mediums.
Awesome. Looks good. I'm writing all this down, taking really good notes. So tell me if I'm correct or if I missed a step, Julian. Step 1 was just the podcast interview itself. Step 2 was going to the blog where you're extracting the content and adding it to the blog itself. Step 3 was to take small clips of each of those pieces, like the graphic social media giants. And step 4 was using GIFs and memes. Is that accurate?
That's absolutely right. So what you're doing is you're going from long form to short form.
Got it. I love that. Good stuff. All right. Now I want to ask you same thing, but talking about how you mentioned go listen to this, go check this out, and then we'll talk. So how is that in one experience that you've had? What value have you gotten or been able to bring in a client, or does it save your time? What kind of happens there so we can get that value too?
The biggest thing, it's saving time. So what you're talking about is I'm on a call. Really, it's a new call with a customer, with not a customer, a potential prospect. I'm on the phone with a potential prospect. It's a new conversation. They don't know much about me. We don't know much about them. Through that call and through the discovery of that call, you discover that that person's probably not the best fit for you today. And so what you discover is like, okay, well, they've got some steps that they need to do. So the really cool part is, hey, why don't you go listen to these episodes? Here's two episodes to go listen to. If you don't want to listen to both, listen to one. Listen to this episode and listen to where you would need to be good, to be in a place where you can begin online marketing, mm-hmm. right? Or listen to this particular episodes. Here are some of the problems you've experienced. So what we do tend to have is we have some naysayers at times where some people are like, oh, I don't believe in digital marketing because it's failed for me in the past. Great. Go listen to Why Digital Marketing Fails, episode one on my podcast. And this is why, in likely terms, it's one of those six reasons that your campaign failed. That episode was probably my episode that took the longest. That was 20 hours that I spent to create that one episode where I went in and I literally looked and I interviewed a bunch of digital marketers. I tried to understand where these campaigns fell and found pillars as to where these campaigns fell. So it's usually audience, placement, content, and these things. And so then I go into these things, why these things fail. And so it's sort of basically your rubric when you're going through and diagnosing a campaign. But it helps bring someone who's a naysayer to going, okay, maybe it was because of this, maybe it was because of that, and gets their head thinking instead of me sitting there and trying to convince them why their campaign failed. And it wasn't because digital marketing doesn't work. It was their strategy and so on and so forth. So it really takes out, it really saves me time. Yes, there's a 20-hour investment into that, but on the back end, I'm saving so much time and I'm positioning myself as an authority in the space.
I love it. I'm making those notes and positioning
myself
as an authority.
Yep, in the space.
So 20 hours it took you to figure out the best way to deliver the six ways that people can fail in your space. Even though it took so much time, like sometimes I'll spend an hour to do like a 15-minute episode.
Right.
But you did 20 hours. And I think the listener might be thinking, man, that there's just no way I'd spend that much time. But it's really not as only giving you that position as the authority, but additionally, it's now saving you more than that 20 hours, which is really, really good. All right. So we're talking about, should we start a podcast? One of the things that you mentioned that we need to do before we do it is understand. And when you ask yourself if you should, you should be questioning yourself. You should be like really taking that in and trying to figure out I'm trying to think of the best way to say it. So since I can't figure it out, I'm going to let you say it. So let's talk about that for a second then, Julian. Before you start, you should ask yourself, should I even do this? And actually question yourself. What are some tangible ways? Like if we're brand new, we haven't even started a podcast. We're thinking about it. We want one. We've heard how much they could add value to us.
Right.
Where should we be with that? Like, should we try to convince ourselves all of the reasons why to do it? Should we convince ourselves not to? Where should we be? Like, what's the fine line?
Yeah, again, because there's so many different audiences and there's so many different types of podcasts, it's sort of challenged to give a one size fits all answer. But let's assume you're a brand and you're not a single dude who's trying to start an entertainment podcast to make people laugh or whatever. Let's say you're a brand and you're trying to start a podcast. The big thing is in your digital strategy, where are you at? Are you doing YouTube? Are you doing social? Are you running paid media? There's some steps before you start a podcast. And one of the big steps that you're going to want to do is you want to get your media buying in place. So if you exist on the internet and you're actually advertising on Facebook and you're advertising on Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, and all these channels, wherever your audience is, if you will, and you've already started that, you probably are now in a good place to start potentially looking at a podcast. But don't let your podcast be the very first thing you do in digital. It's probably more the second or third thing you do because it's labor intensive. It does take time. Adam, that episode took me 20 hours, but not all my episodes take me 20 hours. That one was that's a keystone episode for me. That's a landmark episode for me where I needed to really get it right. Not only did I need to get it right, it was my first time doing it. I probably would be closer to maybe 12 hours if I did that one today. I could shrink it down. But anyways, point being that you need to be a little bit more sophisticated in your digital marketing before you start. And I think a good benchmark, if you're ready, is if you're already doing media buying. If you're already doing media buying, you understand the world of buying media, creating content, and all those things. You already understand that.
I cut you off real fast. Just can you define media buying?
Yeah, I can. I've said that word so many times through this episode. Media buying. So for those that probably don't know exactly what I'm talking about, I mean, media buying sounds like the word makes sense. Media buying, what I'm referring to is when you're advertising on social media, that's the big thing. Or when you're advertising on Google, when you're doing any sort of advertising, when you're paying for something on the internet from a digital perspective.
Paid ads.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
All right. Keep going. I cut you off. Just wanted to make sure we understood that.
Yeah. So if you're doing media buying, you kind of already understand sort of this realm. I think maybe it might not be the next step, but a step after that, it could be podcasting. Absolutely. If you are planning on starting a podcast because you're a single dude, a single woman, or whatever, you're trying to start the show and you're trying to do an entertainment podcast, I think really long and hard about what you're going to put together, because you might be better off just starting a TikTok account than starting a podcast and creating TikTok content under 60 second content versus 15 to 20 minutes. Adam, I mean, you can speak into this. It's really hard to get people to listen for more than 15 minutes or even to listen for the full 15 minutes. On average, people listen to about 6 minutes. That's the average that people listen to. Again, a lot of people look at Joe Rogan. Well, Joe Rogan's got 3 hours. We can't look at Joe Rogan, all right? You're not a famous celebrity who hosted Fear Factor, who hosted MCs at the UFC, who's made it, his name's in the media. I mean, you're just not that guy. And you're not that woman. You're not there yet. That's not where you are. And we can't recreate Joe Rogan. We just can't. So don't try to. But yeah, I mean, you can speak into how hard it is to get people to listen to your stuff.
Well, let me find out here. Get your media buying in place.
Yep.
Maybe podcast is step three. What would step two be?
Good question. I think step two, once you've got your media buying dialed in, again, you could kind of maybe interchange podcasting with two or not. But I guess the next step would be potentially looking at being deep on organic social and being consistent with getting on organic content. I think that's a big thing. And that's a whole universe beyond that. But yeah, I would say that, let's say you started with organic social, then you went to paid, then you could go to podcasting, or you could change it around. Let's say you started with paid, then you went to organic social, then you went to podcasting. I think that would be a good way to look at it.
And I thought that was huge takeaway earlier when you were talking about being able to save your time and energy by creating that content. Is there anything else that you haven't yet mentioned that is just a good reason to have a podcast, whether it's a reason to have a podcast because of the listeners or without the listeners? You talked about networking, you talked about knowledge, you talked about the content, you talked about being able to send somebody to one of your podcast episodes. Is there any other huge benefit that we should be considering when we're asking ourselves we should start a podcast?
Yeah, I've seen a client use it as a informational for their product or their service, more so for our services, what I've seen. So basically, hey, when you're at this stage. I'll give you an example. A plastic surgeon we work with, he has a podcast and he talks about the podcast, and he has a very particular thing for his clients. Hey, you can go and listen to this episode and listen to these episodes. This is what you're going to probably be experiencing. This is how you're going to be feeling, so on and so forth. So you can use it almost as an internal tool to be able to help someone through that experience that they potentially are going through in that time.
All right. I like that. Good stuff. All right. If we are brand spanking new, is there one other strategy that could help us get listeners? Like, let's just say we want those listeners, regardless of all the value we can get without them. Is there a strategy that maybe you've implemented with your current clients, most of them in e-commerce, that's helped them to be able to really grow their show?
Yeah, what we like to do is we like to take, and you can do this relatively affordable if you don't have this team member on your team, is we take the segment that you identify, and you create a visual representation for that. So right now, you and I, if someone's listening to this, we're on a Zoom call and we're talking heads. So if we extracted this clip, it would be me talking with a little microphone, with some headphones, my t-shirt, and my beard. That's not visually appealing. I'm not that good looking of a guy. There's nothing that's going to stop someone who's scrolling on whatever platform they're on. So one thing that's really cool that you can do is take a bit of content, 15, 20, 30 seconds, and animate it and do with a visual representation of what's happening in that particular moment. And those have been really, they bring a lot of attention to that particular episode.
Do you use that as an advertisement? So here's what I hear you saying. We use a service called like Doodly or something like that. And what it does is it allows you to be able to create some type of cartoon. And we could do a 30-second one, a 60-second one, similar to how you mentioned. So you'll have that visual representation of a clip of the podcast, and then you post it on social media, or you make an advertisement about it and then have a call to action that says, go and check out the rest of the podcast here. How do you use that?
Both. We run it on organic. So just posting it for free, and you run paid media to it.
Okay. And do you have any strategy that helps us to be able to be better at that? Or do you use a different service besides the one that I mentioned?
Yeah. I mean, I would, this is a quick session on outsourcing. I have an ideology and a method for outsourcing. I usually jump on a Fiverr or on an Upwork, and I'll identify three candidates and I will give them the same project. So here's what I'm talking about. We're talking about getting someone to animate your particular podcast clip. So what you want to do is you want to identify a clip that's provocative, interesting. Identify that, then go to these platforms, identify three different people and send them the same audio bite and get them, all three of them, to do the same thing. And get them to come back to you what it is. And that's how you can identify really good talent for inexpensive. That's how I do it. And that's literally my secret. I go on Fiverr, jump on, find three people, test three people. And then I work with the person that was easiest to work with that also produced a great product.
I did that once and it worked out awesome. I love the advice. I wasn't even thinking clearly like the way that you have it so succinct. But I just thought, all right, I don't know who's going to be able to do this. So
right.
I just started by having three or four people do the exact same product. And what was interesting is at the time I spent like $5 for a couple of them, $30 for a couple of them, and like $150 or $250 for the other couple. And I don't remember specifically, but I think the $10 one was the best out of all of them. I was like, are you kidding me? All right. Well, I know who I'm going with for now on. So you've done that on places like Fiverr or Upwork, and you've tested it by wasting money because you're spending the same amount of money for three different people. And that helps you to be able to find out who you should work with on that project and on many other projects as well for a good price with a good product.
Yeah, man. One of the things that I've appreciated so much about entrepreneurship and running a business is how undervalued talent is. like your company is talent. And so if you're not willing to invest in talent, stop doing what you're doing right now. Just stop. There's no point. Unless you're just going to be a solo entrepreneur for the rest of your life and your business supports that, then that's totally fine. But talent is so important because no one's good at everything. You can't be an animator, video editor, graphic artist, amazing podcast producer, amazing host, amazing. You can't do every step in the process. You just can't. And if you can, by all means, you must be a rock star, but then you're going to be limited by time. So then balance your personal life. So my point is, at some point, you're going to need to hire someone to do something. And I never look at wasting this. I look at it as an experience. I look at it as a spectrum. This is a spectrum of what it is. I'm hiring a $5, a $15, a $30, a $100, a $400. And I hire this spectrum to see what's in front of me and what's in my arsenal. What can I work? Because maybe the $400 is going to work for something else. Maybe the $10 is going to work for this. And I just need a spectrum, right? And that's what really helps. And this is investment in talent. And talent's everything. I mean, honestly, Steve Jobs, I don't know if you're a fan like Steve Jobs or even people know who Steve Jobs is, that we're getting to a generation that people don't know who Steve Jobs is. But Steve Jobs was, for those of you that don't know who he was the founder, co-founder of Apple with Steve Wozniak. And he always talked about hiring the best people. And the only way to know if you're going to hire the best is by testing out several. And these platforms like Fiverr and Upwork give you the ability to test so many people in such a rapid amount of time. So it's unbelievable. And I can talk about outsourcing all day long. This is Julian and I'm done speaking.
Talent outsourcing for Fiverr. We got a lot of value from you today, Julian. Thank you so much. And your podcast is called Growth Hack by Poppy Digital, right?
That's right.
I said it right.
You Poppy. Got it. You
perfect.
Yeah, Poppy.
Done and
yeah,
done.
You got it right.
So if you're listening to the podcast and you're liking what Julian's dropping and you want to hear more of him dropping episodes like this, well, he's got his own podcast. So just type in Growth Hack, or I actually just did it by typing in your name and it still came up. So go to Growth Hack by Julian Espinoza. And if you love what he's doing and you do end up giving him a organic, authentic rating and a review, let him know that where you heard from him. And I'd be honored if you just let him know that you heard from him here. And Julian, how else can they find you and get a hold of you?
The biggest two places, my two platforms that I connect with most people on is LinkedIn or Instagram. So on LinkedIn, just Julian Espinoza. If I've done my SEO right, I should be the first one if anyone types that in. So Julian Espinoza, Espinoza with an S, not a Z. And then if you want to find me on Instagram, The Boss Poppy, I reply to all my DMs personally. So yeah, just reach out to me and let me know, as Adam said, let me know where you found us. And if you're interested in reaching out and chatting about whatever it is you want to chat about, I'm here.
Awesome. Julian, thank you for jumping on and going into everything that we did, talking about in the beginning how you were limited in your Rolodex. I was surprised that you would throw away a dozen episodes, that you already edited them just because they were like your close friends. And that idea of just opening up your network and being able to grow that network by interviewing the right people and sharing what JLD shared on your podcast about, like, if you're going to even have a podcast at all, you should start with making sure that you solve the problem in the best way. Like, not just, I don't remember what you said, like the 163rd way or whatever it was. You're thinking like, you've got to be unique. You've got to have something different about you. And if you have it, do it. If you've got that, do it. And I thought it was interesting that podcast is kind of that second or third tier for you after doing some of this other digital stuff. And I know you come from a digital marketing place. You've been doing it for 15 years. So for me, I'm like, I don't even do any of that. And I have a podcast. So did I do it wrong? I get value from having the podcast, but I certainly don't focus on digital paid marketing. I never personally have done that. And so I thought that was really eye-opening, insightful way to look at it as well. And there was a lot more content that we got through talking about AJ, that lifetime value, how you learned that from him on your podcast. That helped you to be able to take it to the next level, making sure that if you're going to have client acquisition on LinkedIn, that it's got to be valued. That one customer has to have an LTV of 15K or more. Talking about step one, podcast interview, step two, do your blog, step three, taking those clips in, maybe using graphics like that social media giant, step four, GIFs or memes, how you go from, I don't remember if you called it long form content to micro content, right? Short form.
Long to short.
Long to short. It just so much good here about trying to figure out if we're going to be starting our own podcast, what should we should be thinking about and everything in between. All right, brother, I'm going to let you go and we're out. This episode's brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.